that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. Stephen Sondheim's musical thriller is on stage at Shasta College. On today's program, we visit the Shasta College Theater to hear from the director and the cast from this macabre musical masterpiece. We'll also be taking you to a Wonderland workspace for visual artists in Chico. The Idea Fab Lab gives art creators of all kinds access to cutting-edge tools and the latest high-tech devices, such as 3D printers and an augmented reality sandbox. We'll be talking with two of the supervisors from that exciting facility. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Tonight in Weaverville, the Trinity Alps Music Festival features classical and romantic pieces by Mendelssohn, Elgar, Mozart, and more. Tonight's concert, which starts at 7 o'clock, is at the Trinity Alps Performing Arts Center. Then tomorrow, again starting at 7 o'clock, the same concert performs at the Pilgrim Congregational Church in Reading. At Reading's Riverfront Playhouse, a double bill of one acts, The Cost of Winning and None of the Above. This pair of plays is on stage tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. There's also a Sunday matinee at 2. The current exhibit at the Orland Art Center, Wanderlust, featuring fine art travel photography by Karma Boyer. Boyer's subjects include California, Hawaii, Europe, and India. The center's open Tuesday through Saturday, 1 to 6. Tonight, at Chico's Downtown Plaza, the Friday night concert presents Chuck Epperson Jr. and his band. This funky, soulful blues group starts its set at 7 o'clock. At the Chico Arts Center, the National All-Media Juried Art Exhibition. This collection of works by local, regional, and national artists is on display Monday through Friday, noon to 4, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4. In Yuba City, follow the Yellow Brick Road to the Acting Company's latest production, The Wizard of Oz. Meet all your favorite characters and hear all the songs you love tonight or tomorrow at 7:30. In Grass Valley, at the Nevada County Fairgrounds, tomorrow and Sunday are the final days of the California World Music Fest, featuring music acts from around the globe. For more information and tickets, go online to worldfest.net. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Today is the birthday of writer Isaac Bashevis Singer. "The greatness of art," said Singer, "is not to find what is common, but what is unique."
Who never thereafter were heard of again. He trod a path that few have trod, did Sweeney Todd. a demon barber of Fleet Street.
He kept a shop in London town, of fancy clients and good renown. And what if none of their souls were saved? They went to their maker impeccably shaved. By Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street.
Theater fans in the Reading area can attend the tale of Sweeney Todd. It's on stage at Shasta College. Stephen Sondheim's macabre musical masterpiece tells the story of a demented barber in Victorian London who's had his wife and daughter stolen from him by a corrupt judge, and in the process of extracting his revenge, begins murdering a string of victims by slitting their throats, and his partner in crime, Mrs. Lovett, bakes the dead bodies into popular meat pies. Our Reading correspondent, Kelly, got to see the show, and after the performance, got to talk with the director, Gregory Thorson.
I'm Kelly Frost, and I'm here at Shasta College. Just watched a production of Sweeney Todd, Demon Barber of Fleet Street, and I'm talking to the director, Greg Thorson. That was a wonderful production. I mean, it was a little very dark, actually, but I enjoyed it very much.
Thanks again for coming to the show. It is dark. Stephen Sondheim bills it as a musical thriller. Stephen Sondheim is probably the preeminent American musical theater composer. Sweeney Todd is kind of his magnum opus. The sophistication of the music, the orchestrations, in many ways, it's almost an opera.
I thought I was watching an opera, to tell you the truth. How did you choose this production, and why this time of year instead maybe at Halloween?
Halloween would be fun, although we'll be doing the Crucible in the fall right around Halloween, which has got a nice kind of spooky feel there too. It's kind of a tradition here at Shasta College to do our musical in the summer. Part of that is that I and the musical director, Dr. Waterbury, we're not teaching during the regular school year, so we have the time that it takes to put together a show like this. This is a huge undertaking. It takes a lot of work. We've been rehearsing since the day after Memorial Day. I've been working on this show since November. I think that the substance of the show is very interesting to me, and it is dark, although I will say that we try hard to find the comedy. This is not a gory production of this show. In fact, we don't use any blood at all. That's helped the audience see the story, and there's all sorts of interesting ideas about mental health, revenge, and violence that are fascinating.
And a lot of different plot twists with things that I didn't see coming either.
Yeah, it's a great story, and I think that a lot of times people are scared off from seeing the show because of the violence, but that's a part of it. It's very melodramatic, so I think you'll even find people kind of chuckling at some moments, so you can enjoy them and experience the tension. This is a great story. I highly encourage people to come see it. I think that even though it is dark, there's a lot to be taken away here, and it's a really interesting theatrical experience.
The music really did lend a lot to it. It was absolutely wonderful. How do you do a production like that when you have a full orchestra?
A lot of practice. Dr. Waterbury is leading a 27-piece orchestra, which is amazing. That's a resource totally unique for a community college to have and is a testament to the great work that she does. When we're in rehearsal, frequently, we'll have three different rehearsals going on at the same time here in the building. We'll have actors in choreography and movement. We'll have actors working on blocking. Sometimes we'll have the pit orchestra going. A lot of stuff going on all at the same time so that we're using our time well. We did this in about 5 weeks, which is fast for a show that's this big.
Tell me your name and what you did in the play.
My name is Hillary Rogerson, and I was the choreographer. I also helped direct some scenes and was a part of lighting design. We did this all in about 4 weeks. The typical production schedule is about 6 to 8 weeks. So the fact that we've accomplished this massive feat is huge. And since I'm part with lighting design too, when I was directing or when I was choreographing things, I'm picturing where I want lights to be going and timing with that, and having to mash it all together has been a lot of extra hours for us. But they're doing it so well. This cast was really focused and really dedicated, and us knowing exactly what we wanted when we came in was a really big help.
Tell me your name and then who you play in this show.
My name's Brian Bassetti, and I'm playing Sweeney Todd.
And I love the show. I wasn't sure whether I loved you or hated you, but the performance was fantastic.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm glad you enjoyed it. The way I see it, Sweeney is sort of made the way he is. He's had some very, very unfortunate things happen to him. He's been manipulated and abused and abandoned by the system that was supposed to protect him. He's been driven to do these horrible things.
All right, you sir, how about a shave? Come and visit your good friend, Sweeney.
Yeah, I don't want to give away too much of the plot by asking this question, but obviously from the beginning we know you want to kill the judge, but when you killed your first victim, that threw me. I didn't see his character taking it to that extent.
The first killing kind of comes out of necessity because Pirelli is threatening to blackmail him, so we can't have that, you know. But you know, he's got his newfound box of razors, so he knows what to do.
Obviously, you're acting, but what is it like to kill somebody on stage?
It's really fun, although I don't know if the real deal would be more exciting, but no, it's very exciting to be killing someone in front of several hundred people with a 27-piece orchestra blaring away in the background and lights going. It's exhilarating. It's amazing. I still have moments where I'm standing on stage and I kind of go out of myself for a second and I think, wait a minute, I know this score. I know the show. I love this show. This is Sweeney Todd. I'm Sweeney Todd. It's incredibly exciting.
My name is Dalton Fitzgerald, and I play Judge Turpin in this summer Sweeney Todd production.
You were supposed to be the villain, but actually, I'm not sure you really were the villain in this play.
Well, yeah, this play is a lot about sort of different bad things that people can do to one another. And I think that, you know, real people don't walk around cackling all the time, even if they are people who do terrible things. You know, when they're doing the terrible things, they might have a sort of terrible aspect to them. But when they're going down the shop to buy a sandwich or something, they don't go, I want a sandwich. They're just normal people. We try to explore that, sort of the light and dark of all the different characters.
A sprinkling, perhaps, of French cologne, but first, sir, I think, a shave.
The closest I ever gave.
Tell me a little bit about how you prepared to play this character, because obviously he's a judge, but it seems like nobody likes the guy.
He's a corrupt politician of sorts. I'm sure we don't know anything about that lately. But I prepared physically by looking at a lot of sort of drawings of people like that. Especially, I tried to find some drawings of people who are a little heavyset, like myself, because there's lots of tall, skinny kind of characters that were versions of this. To get the voice, I listened to British actors that have a sort of a posh take on things. It's a little bit of Stephen Fry in there. I hope there's a little bit of some other people who have that kind of hail fellow well met sort of thing.
I am Rebecca Gilbert and I play Joanna.
Tell me a little bit about Joanna.
Joanna is this young girl and she is actually Sweeney Todd's daughter. And when she was young, she was taken by Judge Turpin. He has kept her in his house for 15 years and controlled every aspect of her life, from who she comes into contact with to how far outside she can go. And all she gets is a balcony. And basically her only friends are birds.
Green finch and linnet bird, nightingale, blackbird, how is it you sing? How can you jubilate sitting in cages, never taking wings?
In the story, she sees this sailor, Anthony. They fall in love at first sight. They venture out into the world and try and escape to live a happy life.
Now, I know that Sweeney Todd knows that you're his daughter, but I'm not sure that your character ever figured out that he was your father.
She has not figured out. She never got to meet him other than the one encounter when he tries to kill her.
He didn't know at that point who you were because you were trying to conceal yourself.
Right. I was disguised as a sailor so nobody would recognize me.
Tell me how you prepared for this. Have you done musicals before?
Yes, I've done musicals for the past like 11 years. This role I dove into by doing a lot of research, reading the story Sweeney Todd was based off of, learning about Joanna and in some cases making up my own stuff about her life and trying to really create her as a person as I think of myself. So I will think of what she likes and dislikes, just every aspect of her life I try and figure out so I can portray her as best that I can as a person.
My name is Jacob McDuffie, and I play Tobias Ragg. Tobias is a young man who originally kind of works for Pirelli, and he's not taken care of super well. Eventually, he gets taken over by Sweeney Todd and Mrs. Lovett and starts working for them.
There, you'll sample Mrs. Lovett's meat pies, savory and sweet pies, as you'll see. You who eat pies, Mrs. Lovett's meat pies, conjure up the treat pies, used to be.
Tobias, along with Anthony and Joanna, play the sources of innocence.
There was a lot of different plot twists and things in this, and a lot of different interaction between the characters that sort of changed as it went along.
I think Hugh Wheeler, who wrote the story, along with Sondheim, who wrote the music, definitely wanted this to be not your basic musical. In fact, Sondheim, when he wrote the music, he kind of looked at other musicals and ensembles and how they all sing together, and they all agreed together. He said, I don't buy it. I don't believe it. I'm going to write my music different. I'm going to have my ensemble singing against each other and about different things. It's unlike any other musical you've seen.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd.
He served a dark and a hungry god.
He served a dark and a hungry god.
To seek revenge may lead to hell.
But everyone does it, though seldom as well.
Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street, is on stage at the Shasta College Theater tonight at 7 o'clock, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and Sunday at 2. Then it continues on the following weekend, Thursday through Saturday at 7 o'clock, and a week from Sunday at 2.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm inside Idea Fab Labs, and I'm speaking with Aaron Banwell, director of this facility, and Carly Santa.
I am the lab lead here, or the operations manager.
This is a fascinating facility. It's huge, and it is in the building that used to house AVL Looms. Tell me what this lab is all about.
We offer membership-based access to high-tech and traditional tools. We have a whole series of zones, a laser cutter zone, 3D printing and 3D scanning zone, a CNC router zone, wood shop zone, textiles and jewelry zone, electronics zone, and also a screen printing zone.
The fascinating thing about it is a kind of philosophy behind it. You're not making distinctions between people who are manufacturers and those who consider themselves traditional artists.
I think that we have a platform that opens doors to a whole different kind of community of people. If you came by during our new member orientation, I would tell you that you would have plenty of space to do your painting. There would almost always be an open workshop space where you can set up all your equipment and do what you need to do. But on top of that, you could collaborate with some of our more technical folk and maybe find a way to incorporate your paintings into laser cut art or add it to someone else's project on the CNC router, for example. Not only will you be able to come in and do what you want to do, but if you're interested in learning new skills, that could happen as well.
Aaron, you were telling me a great sense of community has developed over the 4 years you've been at this location.
That's absolutely true. There's a really interesting cross-section of the population meeting up here, mixing and collaborating. You have technical people, programmers, engineers, and the like, mixing with artists, entrepreneurs, and hobbyists. There's really an open source and collaborative culture going on. People are mixing ideas and sharing techniques and knowledge all the time.
Right above my head is a fascinating grid. It's like a rainbow that is constantly fluctuating, and this was a community project. Carly, can you say a little bit about how this project developed?
The project above us is the IFL LED ceiling array. There are 2,880 LED pixels, all in their own individual laser cut box, set up to a computer program to allow basic programmers the ability to learn different programming techniques on a really large scale canvas. A group of people got together and over the course of a year built this ceiling for that.
You were also saying areas of the university, such as the theater department and costuming, have made use of your facilities.
We have a newer member. Her name is Lindsay Brothers, and she works out of the theater department and does their costuming. She has been active in our textiles zone, not only using the equipment for her own personal use, but has always taken to maintenance on their costuming and on our sewing machines.
What's also unusual about this facility is that it has its own gallery.
We have our own art gallery that showcases art exclusively made in our Tech Art Incubator program. The idea of the program is artists can apply to participate. They come in and we coach them in finding ways to augment their traditional mediums workflow with digital fabrication or high-tech tools. We actually had a painter who came and participated in our artist incubator program. What he did was a combination of laser etching onto pieces of wood and also onto canvases, and then painting in the lines, and also creating stencils out of mylar and doing an airbrush, and was able to achieve very photorealistic imagery that way. We show only art that's created in that program in our art gallery. And it really serves to inspire the entire community of the Fab Labs. There's always an artist in here creating art using some new technique, and then everyone else gets excited about those techniques. We have about 110 members here currently. The artists are able to dip into the community as a resource to broaden their own techniques. Everyone really rallies around the artist, and whenever there's a gallery exhibition, it's really a whole community event.
Once I walked into this facility, I felt very much at home. You're so friendly. There can be something very intimidating about going into someone else's discipline. I'm thinking of artists who are listening to this. How can you reassure them that it's not going to be terrifying? They won't walk in and suddenly be grilled on how to use a computer.
We offer safety and basic use classes for every zone in the building. That safety and basic use class is offered at the same time every week, and members are free to take those classes as many times as they want. It is required that members take one to be signed off on the equipment, but you can be comforted in knowing that even though you may have never seen a laser cutter in person, you can show up for the class on Thursdays as a member and take it as many times as you need until you're comfortable enough to use it. And then past that point, use the resources of the community and find the people here who are happy to teach and are happy to collaborate with you to help you grow your skills. You shouldn't feel like you're alone at learning any of our tools or our equipment.
This is, to a large degree, a volunteer-run facility.
Yeah, it's really sort of the core of the community, the volunteer team. People who want to have a discounted membership come and they put in 4 hours a week cleaning and organizing tools and helping members with their projects. In exchange, they get a $30 membership with access to the entire facility's tools.
Well, I just had a good time playing in your augmented reality sandbox. Can you describe to listeners what that is, Carly?
The Augmented Reality Sandbox is an awesome project developed by a group from UC Davis and a few other organizations. The projector above the box projects a topographical map onto the sand, and then there's an Xbox Kinect hooked up to it as well, and the Kinect detects your movement and the change of the sand's levels, and in that loop changes the projection and shows you when you have created a mountain in the sand or when you've dug deep enough to reach water down below. And you can do a couple fun things like hold your hand in a certain way and make rain fall on the mountain. All kinds of stuff that is really good in a learning environment to teach kids about topography and hydrology and technology as well.
How about the field trips? It's marvelous to be able to introduce very young people to this facility, and you're doing this.
Yeah, we've had a huge response to our field trips. We bring schools in, give them a tour of the whole facility. They really love it, and we've had a huge response from a 4-county area around the North State. We give them demos of all the digital fabrication tools. So they get to see the laser cutter cutting a piece of wood into a slinky. They get to see the 3D printer printing a little person. They get to see a 3D scanner. They get to see the CNC router, which is a giant robotic wood carving machine. It's really great to introduce kids to the possibilities of digital manufacturing at such a young age.
How young is the youngest?
We've had kindergarten all the way up to university age.
Carly, there's an event people can attend on August 5th.
We're having our 4th annual Makers Showcase. The Makers Showcase is a place for anyone in the community, anyone from the local area, can submit up to 3 pieces of art to hang in our gallery, or they can submit to have a vending booth to sell original handmade items. The event is held on August 5th, that's a Saturday, from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's free, family-friendly. Anyone can come in and check out the vending booths and take something home from that, or they can take a look through the art gallery, and if something really strikes them, they can buy something from there as well. The neat thing about this event is it's not just one sole person with their art in the gallery. It's a collaborative effort from anyone who feels motivated to be a part of it. It's going to be really eclectic, and it's always a really beautiful show.
And then there's the open house. What's that like, Aaron?
We hold an open house each Monday from 6 to 8 p.m. That is designed for us to open our doors to the community, bring anyone who's interested to see what we have to offer to come on in, and we'll give you a tour and answer all your questions, show you around the facility. Come on down. We'd love to share our Fab Labs with you.
The location in Chico is very close to the railway tracks, one of my favorite areas, 603 Orange Street. Both an open house coming up and also this wonderful event open to the community. What's the event called again?
The Makers Showcase.
Thank you both.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program in its regular broadcast time, you can hear it anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.